It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley has the day off. You know what that means. We're going to talk Xbox One and Call of Duty Ghosts. We've also got an update for Microsoft Office and a lot more. Stay tuned. Windows Weekly, the old school style, is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott, episode 336, recorded November 7th, 2013. Attack Cats. Windows Weekly is brought to you by IT Pro TV. Are you looking to upgrade your IT skills or prepare for certification? IT Pro TV offers engaging and informative tutorials streamed to your Roku, computer, or mobile device. For 50% off the lifetime of your account, go to itpro.tv/ww and use the code WW50. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code WINDOWS11. And by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that talks all about your Microsoft stuff, Xbox, not stuff. PlayStation, stuff. And here's Paul Thurrott from the Supersite for Windows, all alone today, winsupersite.com.
I'm all alone.
All alone. So Mary Jo's taking the day off.
Yep.
Okay.
How dare she?
I know. That doesn't seem right. It's just you and me. It's like the old days. It was just you and me. For a year. How long? We 4 or 5 years we did that. Just you and me.
Maybe
more? Yeah. Well, we're on our 336th episode. Is that right? Or 356?
Yeah, I always have to do the math. So we've been doing this for 8 years.
What?
Is that right?
Eight?
Yeah, 2005.
No.
We start.
Yeah. 7 years. 52.
Oh, I can't do simple math.
We'll hit our seventh year.
No, that's 8 years, isn't it? 2013.
There's 52 weeks in the year.
I know, but we didn't do one. In the beginning, we spaced them out a little bit.
We missed
more.
A few, is what you're saying.
In fact, I remember a good friend of mine.
What was our first day? What was our first show?
Bob emailed me about 3 months into Windows Weekly, and he said, why don't you just start calling it Windows Monthly?
Did we really miss a lot early on?
I think we went every other week for a little while. It wasn't as regimented as it's become.
Well, it is now.
It's not so professional.
So what was our first day? What was the first day? You remember?
It was September 2005.
Wow. So we should have celebrated our 8th anniversary a couple of months ago. We didn't. We missed it.
Wait.
That can't be right. No, September 2006.
2006.
That makes more sense.
Yep, because Vista was just about to come out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Okay, so 7 years.
But you're one of the oldest shows on this network, and it's beginning
I feel
to
like
show.
It too.
The wheels
oh,
have
yeah.
fallen off. We started this show back when it was Windows XP.
Yeah.
And now
actually,
it's the
end of
life.
True.
We've
that's true.
We've outlasted XP.
That's right. XP was the then current version of Windows, briefly.
Briefly, but yeah.
For us.
So,
a lot has changed, Leo.
The first episode, September 28th, 2006, according to the chat room, which knows all.
Okay.
Amazing, amazing fact. And you can
Dane Goldman and I had a conversation in Vegas that year. We had the party when, Brent Spiner showed up. And
oh, yeah. That was that long ago?
It was a long time ago. But we had a conversation and he was telling me, he was asking me about the podcast and how long I could do it or how it was going to go and everything. And I remember I said to him that I can make no promises of quality, but I said, I will show up every week.
Good enough for me. Here's the topic. The title was The Road to RC1.
Jeez.
Introducing Paul, the real Vista ship date, Windows security, the new office ribbon, and more.
The new office ribbon.
The ribbon was new. Yep. Julie Larson Green was just a twinkle in Bill Gates' eye.
Yeah, no, I remember Jensen Harris pulled me aside at PDC. It must have been PDC 2005. And it was the big deal at that PDC was going to be Longhorn again, you know, of course. And he showed me the ribbon that they were working on. And they were gonna, and at the time, they didn't have any of the icons in there. It was all the graphics. It was just little colored blocks, you know, so it looked kind of silly. But
that's appealing.
I remember walking out of that and thinking, this is the news. This is the big, this is bigger than what, you know, Vista. I guess we knew it was Vista by that point. Or did we? I don't remember. But it was pretty clear that the Office thing was going to be a bigger deal than Windows, you know, the ribbon.
Right.
And that was obviously controversial in its own right, although I guess that's kind of died down. In
it has,
days.
But at the time, boy, people hated it. Hated
yeah.
it.
Yeah. But, you know, it was an interesting sign of innovation from an unexpected place, because I think a lot of people looked at Office and thought, well, this, you know, what are you going to do with this thing? You write words, you crunch numbers. I mean, there's not a lot of right. places to go with it. And they really did kind of take it in a different direction, successfully, I think, ultimately.
It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Now we're looking ahead to new stuff.
Yeah.
Let's start.
The only thing that's new, it's just this, it's the same thing, really. It's just the new stuff is different stuff.
Since Mary Jo's not here, I guess I can go look at an Xbox One at my Microsoft store right now, right? It's coming soon. I'm going to get it in, no. what, 2 weeks?
No.
15 days, 2 weeks from tomorrow. So I broke down. We were talking about the dearth of launch titles.
Yeah.
But there's a bright side, a silver lining to that dark cloud. I bought every one of them.
Nice. So you got like Rise.
Rise. I didn't buy every one. It feels like I bought every one. Call it
Ghost.
Call of Duty Ghost. Assassin's Creed.
Yep.
For
the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Red Pirate Roberts. Yep.
Yep.
I got... I didn't get Forza. I drive enough in my life. I don't need to drive in a game.
I find racing games to be just uninteresting. Yeah. I mean, they're beautiful to look at, but...
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think pretty much everything you could get on day one, except for
sure.
Forza. And there's some...
You know, the big game, though, is going to be Titanfall.
I know, and that's not what... That's delayed till March. Yeah. Kills me. Oh, Battlefield 4. Got that.
Battlefield 4, yeah.
Now, as a Call of Duty fan, is it okay if I play Battlefield 4? I mean...
No.
Because I want to ride the choppy sea in the Zodiac.
I'm exactly 50% of the way through Call of Duty Ghosts, the single player.
Already?
Campaign. Yeah.
Is this single player?
Actually, for me, this is kind of slow. I've often finished the game in like the first 24 hours. I'm trying, you know... It's not an age thing so much as it is a realization that I'm probably going to be spending much of the next year playing this game. There's no reason to jam it all up front, you know, because I'm going to keep going with it.
Right. You can enjoy it. You can savor it. You can relish every headshot.
I did briefly consider today some of the things that I've done in this game already, which I, you know, it's weird because it's no longer super impressive. Because these games all have these really interesting set pieces. But, you know, jumping off of a waterfall as you're being shot at by a helicopter.
Love that.
You know,
that kind of stuff. Love that stuff, yeah.
You know, attacking a city in a helicopter.
Yeah.
Taking the point of perspective of a dog and attacking terrorists.
Oh, that's right. The dog. I forgot. The dog. So how's the dog? Yeah.
So, you know, it's what a world we live in, you know, in a way that you can have this kind of entertainment experience, you know. It reminds me of actually the Star Wars movies, right? When I was a kid and Star Wars movies came out, the big realization I had about them, aside just from being, you know, blown away by them and all that kind of stuff, is they would have these little set pieces that in any other movie would have been the conclusion. It would have been the big thing.
Right.
But they just kept doing them, you know. You think about like Return of the Jedi. They have that whole sequence where they, you know, the sail barge blows up and they escape and everything's good. And that's like the beginning. That's like the intro of the movie.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And these games are like that.
Start. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of stuff. You know. So you know, in some ways, it's obviously kind of ridiculous too. We'll get to that. But you know, it's fascinating that you can do this stuff. You know, and the list of games you just mentioned. You know. You can play the part of a pirate in Assassin's Creed. You can go back to ancient Rome and Rise.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's these things are all like stunningly realistic looking and have great soundtracks and really immersive experiences. I mean, Why do we even have real life anymore?
Right.
You know, it's like raining outside. Why do we have
really?
What's the point?
Really? So of the launch titles, which, by the way, folks, I feel like we're playing hooky here. Mom's gone.
Oh, I've been playing hooky since midnight on Monday.
Mom's gone, and you know, we can talk about the Xbox. So of the Xbox launch titles, which one are you most excited about?
Ghosts? Well, honestly, so this is very reminiscent of 2005 when the 360 launched, rather, in that there weren't any A1 Microsoft titles that were Xbox exclusive. Maybe Rice is the exception to that. You know, we're not getting a new Halo game. Call of Duty, of course, is cross-platform. It's already out.
It's not exclusive.
Yeah. So, you know, honestly, I'm most interested in comparing Call of Duty to the version on 360 because there's been some controversy around that, and I do want to see how that kind of matches up. But, you know, in many ways, the thing I'm most excited about on Xbox One isn't so much the games because, like, you know, the one I'm really looking forward to is
Zumba Fitness World Party.
Yeah, exactly. Anything with Kinect, obviously. No, it's Titanfall, and that's not happening until March. Right. And March is a good time frame for me because that will let me get through some other stuff. And
I think Watch Dogs, too, is one that I was really excited and interested. In fact, that was delayed. Yeah, that's delayed also to March. Or later. That's the game that I really bought the Xbox One to play, to be honest with you.
Yep.
Also not exclusive. So,
yeah.
Which is nice. That means PlayStation 4 people will be disappointed as well.
Yeah, and I'm curious just to see the console and experience the interface and see how the entertainment the stuff works. And
yeah, that's the main reason I got it.
So, as
a media player. I'm putting it in the den. My den. No kids
allowed.
Did
you get a PS4 as well?
I did not.
Yeah.
I opted to just...
I did, just because I need to compare them, but
it's too much. I have two PlayStation 3s in the house. I don't need more. And
PlayStation.
I have an Xbox 360, but I got the OLED TV. I'm going to put the Xbox One on that. I'm going to put on the headphones, and I'm going to visit another world with Johnny Depp.
So what about you, then, of those existing launch games?
I got Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Battlefield... Dead Rising. I'm not big on zombies, but what the hell?
Dead Rising. That's one of those games like I should love, and they bore me.
Like smushing people who are dead already. It's not takes all the fun out of it.
No, it's like you can run over a zombie with a lawnmower. It sounds hilarious, and then you do it once. You're like, whatever.
The one I'm, I guess, most interested in the bunch because it's something different is Rise.
Yeah,
I want to be a Roman legionnaire.
Yeah.
I think that'll be fun. But it looks a lot like a sword fight game, which is kind of, to me, not that interesting. It feels like Mortal Kombat on a big stage.
Right. I assume it's going to be more than that.
I hope it is.
Yeah.
I hope it is. So there we go. Mary Jo's gone. And
look, I got the...
The show's immediately descended. Look, ghosts on the back. So the dog is good? The dog is cool?
It's fine. I mean, I run into the dog more online, and if you're familiar with previous Call of Duty games, you know that I don't remember which one it was. Some of the probably the Modern Warfare games that you had as a kill streak, a dog attack, which is fairly devastating. This game they've kind of ramped it down, and so now what you get is a dog, like a dog, and you can get it much more quickly than you could the dog attack.
Is it a companion?
Yeah. So.
So it's kind of like...
I get the dog, and it's sitting there. It's got my name over his head. You know, it's like, you know, it's my dog. And there are guys shooting at me and stuff. And I'm like, hey, go attack those people. What are you doing? He's like, you know, he's just like sitting there. I'm like, there's got to be some way...
You have to train him.
To make him attack.
He's the untrained. Only way he'll do it,
you have to shoot the enemy, and then he'll go...
Ah.
Get them. And I'm like, you know, if I wanted to shoot the enemy, I would just shoot the enemy.
That's
I don't want to
have a dog for
I don't want to, like, ping the enemy briefly with, like, a single bullet and then have you do the rest of
let
it.
Let him
like,
know I, where I am. The whole point is about, a stealthy dog attack.
You know,
yeah.
Do something.
Yeah. Get out there. Work. Earn your Alpo.
So, basically, I turned off this particular kill streak. They probably call it a point streak now, whatever they call it. But because the only message I would ever get about the dog is, like, the enemy killed you, dog. Sorry about that. He's dead. Like, what do you know? He, like, went up and licked him or something, or he's, like, wagged his tail. I don't know, like, what
the point of it is. That's about the saddest message you could ever get in a video game.
I know. I don't want to hear that. So now the kill streaks are things like, you know, three missiles that fly in from above that you can control, or, like, an attack helicopter, or something. I don't care if it fails. you know?
All right. Coming up, we're going to do a show.
Yeah.
And we're going to stop talking about this.
This is the show.
But if I were Mary Jo,
I
wouldn't.
This is the single biggest news event that happened this week.
If I were Mary Jo, I would be out of town in the next few weeks. That's, yeah. That's all I'm saying.
That's probably when she booked this trip. We started talking about something like this.
Yeah.
She's like, dear Expedia.
She's with the fam, the Foley artists. It's interesting. It's a family with a calling. We're going to talk about drowning in devices in debt. We're going to talk about Windows, Windows Phone, big updates for Office, and the shortlist for CEO. Paul Theriot is here. Mm-hmm. Mary Jo on vacation. Our show today brought to you by some really good people that I've come to know over the last few months, and I'm just big fans of the folks at IT Pro TV. If you are looking to get your certs, if you want to get a job in the tech business, you got to have the piece of paper. Even if you have all the knowledge, you got to have the piece of paper that says, oh, yes, he's A-plus certified. He's MCSE. He's CompTIA. This is what IT Pro does. Now, you know there's schools that do this for thousands of dollars. There's books you can buy for $100. How about this? Sign up now, $48 a month, and you're learning without even knowing it. Get it?
Get it. Get it.
But before you sign up for that at that price, I'm going to give you a special deal. First, I want you to go to itpro.tv/ww for your welcome. Look at, there's so much cool stuff. They even do live shows. Let me see if they're on live right now. Because the nice thing about live is, oh, yeah, they're live. The nice thing about live is you can chat with them. You can ask questions. They say they modeled it on the screensavers. Look, they got a TriCaster. Look, they duplicated our studio. They're using the same mics we do. See the Heil PR40s in the back there? This is us. They do the behind-the-scenes stuff. And you know what? I love it. I just love it. These guys are fabulous. And they really know their stuff. They've been doing this kind of training for years. And they said, you know, they apparently they were at an NAB speech of mine. They said, we should do what Leo's doing and teach people how to do IT. Now, it's not just like TWIT because the content is specifically geared towards your, you know, getting your certification, your A+, your NET+, your Security+, your MCSA, your Cisco certs. That's the point. So this is much more hardcore, frankly, than anything we do. They've got episodes in many different topics. You could jump right to a topic if you're having a little trouble understanding a specific thing. They even divide it up into exam objectives. So it's a really great way to study and prepare. Operating systems, security, mobile devices, troubleshooting. I really like what these guys are doing. Now, here's the deal. Because they love TWIT. They love people who listen to TWIT. They're making you a special offer. Go to itpro.tv/ww, itpro.tv/ww, and you'll see Mary Jo and Paul, and you'll see to sign up now. If you use the offer code WW50, you're going to get 50% off. So that means instead of $57 a month, $570 for the entire year, $28.50 a month or $285 for a year of learning. That's amazing. ITPro.TV. This is the way to learn. Go to ITPro.TV/ww.
Hi, welcome to ITPro TV, another great channel on the Edutainment Live Network. I'm Don Pizzette, and I'm accompanied today by Tim, one of our other founders.
Don and Tim came by about a month ago. I just was such a pleasure meeting them. It looks just like the screensavers. I love it. ITPro.tv/ww. Use the offer code WW50. You'll save 50% off. Get that training. Get that cert. Get a job. In this day and age, that's a great thing. ITPro.tv. Did you buy any Twitter stock this morning, Mr. Theriot?
No. I don't think I'm allowed to do that kind of thing.
I certainly am not, because Lisa won't let me waste my money.
Right.
What it ended up almost doubling. They were asking.
Yeah, it's nice to see a social networking service finally get this right. You know,
they made some money. I think Ev Williams, one of the founders, is worth now more than $2.5 billion.
Sure.
$2.5 billion.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Imagine how much he could have been worth if they allowed you to type 280 characters.
It's up to $46.88 right now, according to my ticker, Effin' Done.
You know, I didn't have this in the notes, but we should mention, since you mentioned the stock price thing, that I saw a headline this morning that said, Microsoft helps Dow reach new record. And I thought to myself, surely this article is from 1998 because there's no way that the Microsoft stock has done anything like that. But actually it happened, and they I'm doing this off the top of my head, so this figure could be wrong, but I think Microsoft stock has been up 18% overall since Steve Ballmer announced he was retiring.
Wow.
And 4.5% or whatever over the past 24 hours. And that this little kind of blip in their stock that they experienced overnight was because
the CEO shortlist. It's got to be, right?
Some CEO stuff, yeah.
We're going to get to that. I'm very...
Oh, I guess I do have it in there. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have it. I'm sorry. I do. Yeah.
And it shows how astute we are. I'm not going to say anymore. I just want to show you this article.
Thank you, by the way, for remembering that. Because when I make this claim, people look at me like I've just pulled something out of my butt. But
no, you're astute.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'm astute, but I certainly...
Some might think you're an astute, but no, you're astute.
There you go. Yeah, I put the ass in astute.
Look at this article from the Guardian in 2008. Leo Laporte is now the top tweeter.
What is
it? Will the Twitter micro? This is from May 18th, 2008. Will the Twitter? This is a long time ago, Paul. 5 years ago, I was the top tweeter.
You mean in the sense that you had the most followers?
Most followers. I had 32,000 followers. Kevin Rose next. Barack Obama third. Jason Calacanis fourth. And Robert Scoble fifth. Veronica Belmont sixth. This is when the geeks ruled. Alex Albrecht, Merlin Mann.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way anymore.
No. You know how many the number one Twitter user
That's
has?
Millions and millions now.
It's Katy Perry.
Yeah,
and the last time I checked, over 46 million followers.
Yeah, and I like that kind of thing because you know it's not her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, even, by the way, so here's one from the tech industry, and I see this stuff. People post this on Facebook all the time. George Takei is beloved, obviously, for his role in Star Trek and so forth. You know he doesn't write his tweets, right?
It broke my heart when I read that article.
I know.
Because I was really, I was thinking.
But you understand, like, that's like a celebrity and how they approach life, which is you have handlers and,
to do it.
And PR people.
You don't do things yourself. You just sit there.
It's terrible. It's too bad.
Like Jabba the Hutt, they butter you. And then people do things for you. And then occasionally, every few months, you're called upon to work for a minute. It's so unfair.
I think at this point in life, you just basically show up.
So unfair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, you know, George Takei, love him, right? He did the ads for the LG with a yellow channel. Oh, my. Of course, Star Trek.
He's on Futurama all the time. He's, you know, doing voiceover work.
And I thought, oh, this is so cool because the guy, what is he? Must be in his 60s. This guy is, like, really connected. He's really hip. I follow him on Google Plus and Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, he probably has a really smart PR company.
All these memes. He's really on top of them. And then I find out, it's a company.
Yep.
It's a company.
And you know, you can kind of see how it works because he's from Star Trek, smart guy. And so whoever got in charge of this guy said, well, we'll position him as a smart guy. Like, he'll have these smart utterances that people will now think that this guy's like Yoda or something. Like, he's just comes out with these little...
I thought he was so hip.
I know. It's terrible to find out something like that.
It's really depressing. Really depressing.
So that's what happens.
Yeah, but it's everybody, and this is the sad thing. Katy Perry probably doesn't. Although, I think Lady Gaga actually does because
they're insane.
They're insane, and no PR rep. Maybe I don't know. This would be a very sophisticated strategy. really a counter strategy. But somebody tweeted her that Perez Hilton was looking at an apartment in her building, and she goes off on Twitter,
Right.
And I thought, if that's fake, then no, I think she must be really doing the real
interesting
Twitter thing. I don't know. Could be that she, I don't know, she does both.
Yeah, I actually, right. And I'm sure even Katy Perry occasionally hops onto.
But Gaga seems to use Twitter of all of them the best. But I don't know why we got in this, so.
Well, it's because the Twitter IPO.
Oh, that's right. And those people are billionaires. But I, who led the pack, even beat Barack Obama in his day.
Right.
He was the president when I beat him, you know. No, he wasn't yet. He was a candidate.
Well.
But May 2008. He was still a candidate. I think once he was president, he beat me. Devices, baby. Surface 2 and Surface Pro 2.
Yeah.
Dell Venue 8 Pro. They're just flowing off.
They're churning out of factories in China and landing in my lap. And, you know, somebody made the comment today in one of my posts about some device, probably the Nexus 5. Because I've written a lot about various devices that have come out recently that, you know, there's no way that Paul is buying all of these things. That would be too expensive. You know, clearly he's getting review loaners and so forth. And actually, I have gotten some review loaners, Surface 2 and Surface Pro 2, for example. But I bought most of the Surface accessories that I've reviewed. I bought the Dell Venue 8 Pro.
I try to buy this stuff whenever I can because I don't.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, I make a big, like, ethical thing out of it. Like, well, you see, I don't want to take it. But the truth is, just between you and me, I hate PR people. And when they send you something, they want to talk to you. And then they go, that review, can we have a conversation about it? And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
So, yeah, I agree with that 100%. I would add further to it. I mean, this is one of those first world problems that people aren't going to appreciate the
It's just you and me.
No, but there is there's a responsibility that comes from this, too. You know, obviously, a review unit would need to go back and you have to keep all of the packaging and the slip and the and all
you have
the,
to you open know. It carefully when I get a new thing.
It's a lot of stuff that goes on. I know it sounds like whatever, Paul, but it's terrible in its own way. The weight of it, you know, all this stuff, the physical weight of it, is destroying my home. But
I don't. And want in my it. Office I told here, stop like sending me stuff because they you would get. I remember going to Dvorak's house. The first time I ever went to Dvorak's house, there was a pile higher than me of UPS boxes.
Sure.
And there was on his staircase. There was a laptop. On every step.
These are all boxes down in the corner
see?
Of my office.
See? You don't want
it's
this.
Like a Sanford and Son disaster in here. You know?
I'm coming, Elizabeth! Whoa! Yeah. I just fell all over the boxes!
Yeah, no, and it's just piles of it.
No, it's like the Midas touch. You think it'd be a cool thing to be able to turn everything into gold, and then you get it, and then you really regret it.
No, and then I start getting those kind of not-so-subtle comments from my wife, like... So what's going on in your office there? Do you have rats?
I should take a picture of my office because, you know, we just moved. And every room is now unpacked in the house except my office. And I just – I look at it and it looks like a spaghetti factory erupted. There's wires and they're all tangled. It's a ball and I'm just – I can't do it. I can't bring myself – I'm just going to – I should have just thrown it all away.
I have wires that are plugged into things that aren't doing anything. I've got wires that are not plugged into things that I think are charging things.
Oh, yeah.
I had an Ethernet. This happened some time ago, but I have like an Ethernet network, obviously. And I had at one point, so stupid, I had somehow managed to plug in a cable that went into the wall in one spot and then into the wall in another spot.
This you know what I mean? Not recommended.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You understand how stupid
Don't
that
do
is,
that.
Right? Now, for all I know, it was getting tremendous bandwidth. I had no idea. But, you know, it's like you wonder why you're not online. You know? It's really, it's a disaster. It's really bad.
In my Ethernet.
Yeah. Stupid. So, you know, you get all this stuff, and there's more coming. You know, we talked about the consoles. iPad Air, the iPad Mini is coming soon, the new version. There's a Nexus 10 we expect to happen anytime now. The new Lumia tablet, the new Lumia phablet. More Windows Mini tablets like the Lenovo Mix 2, I hope and expect to get very soon. The Dell Venue Pro 8 or 8 Pro has been so great, I'm thinking maybe I should get the 11. I mean, people want to hear about it, you know.
And this is the thing. It becomes an obligation. It no longer becomes a pleasure. In fact, I look at this time of year now, and it's getting worse. I mean,
this year, by the way, it's always bad this time of year. But this year in particular,
horrible.
There is no doubt now in my mind. This is the worst year ever for this kind of
stuff.
There
is more shiny crap raining down on us.
And it's really hard to keep it all in your head. And you all, you can lose track of stuff. You know, you want to give everything its due, and you know, and people get very specific. You know, could you compare the Surface 2 to the Dell Venue Pro 11?
Oh no, I do this all the time. This has optical image stabilization. Yep. No, wait a minute. Does it? One of them has optical image. Yep. Which one has Qi charging? Oh, this has, no, wait a minute. I think this has, I can't ever, you know, you need a cheat sheet.
Someday I got to write a book about like user interface stupidity. I'm sure someone already has written a book about this.
There's a lot of it. Oh, boy.
But I told you the story probably on this podcast years and years ago about the humorous experience I had with the, what was actually a CD changer in my Volkswagen.
No, I don't remember
the weirdness
this.
Of that. But I was just reminded the other day, we've been using the same espresso machine for years, and it has like a water canister you kind of put in the back, obviously.
Yeah.
So we had this thing for 2 years, and there's a line that you fill the water up to, and obviously, and the line is marked XAM.
XAM.
Yeah, and my wife and I would look at the. We talked about it. We're like, "What do you think that stands for?"
XAM.
Like, I
don't know.
So one, I swear to God, 2 years into this, pulled the thing off the back this time instead of filling it on the back, put it into the sink, started filling it up, and I had turned it around, and that line is actually
Max. You
know, Max.
Max.
Yes, Max. Yeah. Now, I'm not suggesting that my wife and I are early geniuses, you know, or anything like that, but. I feel like we're reasonably smart people. You know what I'm saying?
2 years. What does XAM? XAM? What does XAM mean?
The hell does XAM stand
Why
for?
Why would they put that XAM? Line with XAM on the back?
I mean, I know that's where I fill it to. One might describe it as the maximum amount of water that you would put into the device.
XAM. That's what it is.
XAM.
Extra amount max.
Yep.
Well, I have a similar story. Yesterday, I sent spam to everybody in my contact list, inviting them to follow me on Twitter.
So, okay, actually, interesting, because I got that.
You got
I wanted
that.
To ask about this. No, I get this from people all the time.
Oh, I show you why it happens.
And, in fact, I got it at my, you know, personal address. I also got it at my work address. And it wasn't just you, by the way. It was other people.
Nope. It's really easy to do by accident.
But you did, in fact, trigger this.
Yeah. I'll show you how.
Because I am, on my personal account, I block these, or I put them into a folder.
So I'm going to start blocking them.
So how do you do it?
So I was setting up, this is the Nexus 5, I was setting up Twitter on a new phone. So I went through the setup. I'm going to kind of duplicate this, but there's a find. It says you want to find your friends, and then it says, we will securely upload your contacts, help you find. Well, it doesn't do it without your permission, but watch what the permission is. It says, okay, and I say, no, I don't want to. It says, here's the matches from your address book. No, I don't want to do that. Let me press done here. And then it says, watch this carefully, invite friends. 1,430 contacts. All of them are checked.
Yikes.
Okay? And there are two buttons now on the screen. Unselect all and done.
And if you click done, it's
done. You click done, and without warning, it
mails.
I mean,
that is completely unacceptable.
I agree. It should at least say, okay, we're going to send an email to 1,040.
Well,
and by the way,
it
doesn't just send it to Paul Theriot. It sends it to every address for Paul Theriot.
I know. I got it at multiple spots. No, but I want to be clear, though. This is a good example because it's not like you just did something stupid.
I know what I'm doing, and I've signed up for Twitter 100 times.
People send me these every single day. I assume this was spam generated otherwise, but that's amazing.
It's that easy to do. And as soon as I hit it, I went, it went away. Oh, crap. But the thing is, they've changed it because I've set up Twitter on every phone since Twitter came out.
Yeah,
on the iPhone, for instance, they're none of them checked by default. But the new Android app, they're all checked by default. So there is Twitter's decided intentionally, especially on the heels of their IPO, I have a feeling, that they should do this. And can I tell you how depressing this is? My mother yesterday said, well, I got your email to follow you on Twitter, and I've followed you now. But where are the pictures? And I felt so bad.
Yikes.
So many people, friends I haven't talked to in years for good reason, think I want to make friends with them now.
All right. So we're going down a rabbit hole. I might as well tell you this story then because this is related. We used to have a personal website. We started it when we moved to Arizona because we were away from our family. And we had a kid and we wanted everyone to be able to see the kid.
Right.
So we started this personal website. We did this for several years. It was a static website and whatever. And you know, over time, it was like, okay, look, if you know us personally, you're going to be on Facebook. I'm going to put my personal photos on Facebook. If you want to watch the kids grow up or whatever, that's where they're going to be. makes a lot of sense. My parents refuse, and by my parents, I mean my mother, but
yeah.
My parents refuse to join Facebook
yeah.
because
mine too.
Someone they know who's not me, who obviously knows more about technology than their son, the published author and lifelong tech reporter, anyway, has
don't get me started
told
on
them that,
one.
Facebook is bad and yeah. that they should not.
No,
they
Paul, my mother I know, just I heard about Facebook, and you can't trick me into
yep.
signing up
and
for that.
This has been going for years. So, you know, in February, we went to Cancun, you know, and then you see your parents afterwards. You know, how was the trip? It was great. Oh, do you have any photos from the trip? Yeah, they're on Facebook.
I told you they'd be on Facebook.
We're not on Facebook. Right. Well, that's if you want to see your grandkids, that's where they are. I mean, I hate to be a jerk about it, but that's what, you know, we yeah. went to.
We post
away
them.
Over the summer. Same yeah. thing. We're away for 3 weeks. I said to them, listen, not for the first time. You can follow along with us on our vacation every single day as it happens. All you have to do is join Facebook. Yeah, we're not done. You know what I got the other day in the via email?
What?
You know what I got?
What?
I got an invitation to join Google Plus for my parents. Is there a bigger F you that you could possibly
burn.
Get from somebody?
You know, we're not going to join that Facebook, but this Google Plus is pretty nice,
yeah.
Paul.
No, they're not. Google is not. They're not like Facebook. They're gonna respect our personal settings and our privacy. I mean, seriously, is it amazing that I haven't had a heart attack?
same experience. I'm talking to my mom. I'm in the airport going on our trip. Saying, but really, all the pictures will be on Facebook. Well, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
There's some merit to this because I set up a Facebook account for her that was completely anonymous, right? You couldn't search for her name. You couldn't.
Yep.
There was no picture. So her fear is she doesn't want old boyfriends finding her or something.
Actually, is that the fear?
I think so. So, she's waffling around it, but I think that's where she's going with it. Anyway, she wants to be anonymous on Facebook. So at the time, I was able to set that up. But now you can no longer do that.
Now you can't be anonymous, yeah.
So she's kind of right. You can search on her name and find that account. So she's kind of right. Anyway.
What a world.
It's nice to hear a colleague talking about this because I've been this year, for the first time ever, I feel like there's too much stuff. I don't want to have to review 8 more phones. I've had enough.
I mean, it's going to have to end eventually, but
I don't think so.
End of the year, at least, it's going to just not end. And there's a lot of pressure, you know, because a lot of them are asking for the same stuff. You know, they want specific device comparisons or whatever. But, you know, even something like you have to kind of think outside of yourself, too, because I'll get something like a Windows Mini tablet's maybe an obvious example, or a Nexus 7 or one of those type of devices. I see that kind of thing and I think to myself, this is a device for watching movies on and you know, music and audible books, and you, I don't know, browse the web maybe, answer email, that kind of thing. It's sort of a consumption plus device. But then you get people asking about, well, what about the keyboard? You know, what about the dock, and can you do this? Can you do multiple displays? What about the pen? It's got a pen. Can you take notes in OneNote? And, you know, and there's a whole, you know, rigmarole to it where it's like, oh, jeez. Like, I'm never going to please everyone.
And
with
it's
this
not
stuff.
Just that one then, because there's
no, and then, and,
a bunch
right,
more. You have to do exactly
to,
the same thing. Now, this
people
is.
People think of stuff that would never occur to me.
This is because we're independent. If we were at PC Magazine or Windows Magazine, you know, sure. then you would just say, well, my colleague has reviewed that one. And you have a team
yeah,
of other people. But when you're independent, when you're writing the super
site for
Windows. I
don't have a team. So I'm an army of one.
He's an army of one, ladies and gentlemen. That's why he's Prestige 11.
Yeah, I'm not a Prestige 0 now. I don't know what's going on.
Really? You have to start over?
Yeah, it's a different game. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if they have Prestige levels. I assume they must. I haven't looked at that yet. Yeah, we'll get to Call of Duty, but it's very complex.
We'll get to Call of Duty 8 or 9 more times in this show, I promise you.
Yeah, no, we're going to keep coming back to it.
Do you feel obligated? I know you have to get all the Windows stuff, but do you also feel obligated to look at the Nexus or the iPads or the really the Kindles?
And that's a big change from the past, not because I didn't do it in the past, but in the past – I would do it under the guise of keeping up on the competition. And obviously that would shift over time, but I always own Macs. I always own the Apple stuff. I always had Linux installs going. You know,
just so you could compare.
Yes, because I don't understand how you could speak authoritatively about why something was or was not better than something else unless you actually, you know, knew. So I did that stuff.
A rare breed, people who do that. That is a rare breed. Nobody does that.
Well, anymore. I mean,
you can't keep up.
How could you be valuable otherwise?
I have not ordered the Kindle Fire HDX, and I feel guilty.
Well, we can talk about that specific device, because I feel guilty about that one, too, because I've used and owned every Kindle device
Me
ever
too.
Made.
I don't want
to have it, and I find myself not caring. And it's not because it's not a good device. It's just because it's lost in this sea of stuff. I mean, and that's a good example of a device type where I always like the Kindle thing, and I use Amazon services pretty heavily, and obviously it's an Amazon-centric device. But using a Nexus 7 this year, the new one, I found that I really prefer the kind of basic Google experience.
I do too.
When you get to a world where, you know, frankly, any music service works fine, who cares?
Right.
You can rent a video from anywhere, who cares? Apps, obviously, on Android, bigger deal than apps on the Kindle. Yeah, and the Kindle app, the Audible app, Amazon app, all this stuff, the Amazon Music stuff all works fine on straight Android. You know, it's like, well, yeah, this device is fantastic. The funny thing is I bought one of the higher end versions of it because I have so liked the previous Kindle Fire, Kindle Fire HD. I figured this is the one I'm going to settle on. And now that I actually have it, I find myself still using the Nexus 7. It's kind of a problem. It's really strange.
No, I'm.
But to get back to the,
I feel like I'm just pissing money away.
I guess.
All this
but okay. So here's the problem. The world has changed, right? You know, when we started this podcast, and going back even well beyond that. I mean, the reason I'm involved with Windows is because Windows was personal computing.
Right.
It was 95% of everything. It was everything. The world is a little more nuanced, actually. Which is, you could say the world is dramatically different these days. It makes sense for me to have competing devices simply to see what Microsoft is doing on those devices. Even just from that perspective, if you pick up an iPhone, which, by the way, I bought an iPhone 5S also with my own money, or an iPad Air or an Android tablet or an Android handset, Nexus 5 I also bought with my own money. Microsoft has a lot of stuff that runs on those devices. Those devices also represent a significant portion of what we think of as personal computing these days. Microsoft is now arguably the smallest of the three biggest players. Not paying attention to this stuff would be like road to obsolescence. I mean, it's even more pragmatic than it was, say, 10 years ago for me to pay attention to this stuff. But my God, is it overwhelming, you know? There's so much of it.
Don't you think that... Yeah, sure, we're a special case because we have to deal with this in a particular way. But don't you think consumers, even though they don't have to buy it all, are just as kind of burnt out on the variety and the choices and the ecosystems? You pick an ecosystem, then you're... I mean, it's just... I would think consumers are just going crazy, too.
I don't know how anyone keeps this stuff straight. It's getting worse, although I feel like we've crossed the line this year. I think I have something in the notes about upgrade fatigue. I don't know why this wasn't a bigger story, but it was notable that there were not humongous around the block lines at Apple stores when this iPad Air launched, which is amazing because the iPad Air is a great device. Call of Duty Ghost, same thing. For the whatever year in a row, my son and I got up at midnight.
Oh, you did it again?
We should compare the photos of my son from, you know, 5 years ago to this year. It's funny.
That's neat. You take a picture each time?
Yeah, I always take a picture.
That's so cute. That's great. And, that's a nice tradition.
Yeah. It's a Thrott family tradition. We call it Call of Duty Eve. you know, then we stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning playing multiplayer.
Oh, that's so cute.
So, no lines. Again, I mean, there were people in the store, and I don't know if they slipstream people out before we got there or something, but we have stood in line for hours at a time on these nights.
Right. Mostly that's changed. That's really changed, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's not, you know, whatever. Call of Duty, those guys will release some figure. We've made $1 billion. Everything's great. Apple at some point will announce that they've sold, you know, tens of millions of iPads. It's all fine. But I do feel like we are reaching a fatigue point with these upgrades. And this is kind of the dark side of that rapid release cycle that Microsoft, you know, belatedly, as they always do, are now just getting into, which is that people are getting a little bit tired of paying again and again and again for stuff that is like, you know, not that much of a difference.
There seems to be very small differences. There's also, as somebody said in the chat room, each screen he adds, and it means another device he has to maintain, backup.
Yes, keep track right. of. Just the commoner's version of what I was just talking about with having too many devices. Well, I mean, a normal person.
No, I like it. Commoners, that's good. The little people have to deal with this too, Paul. Don't forget.
Well, no, but for example, when you guys call me, I have several devices that go. First of all, 30 minutes before the show.
You turn everything on.
Every stupid little phone, whatever.
Oh, it's reminding you. Yeah, yeah.
Reminding me. 30 minutes to Windows Weekly, you know, because I forget that this show is at the same time every single week of my life.
For 8 years.
So I got that in there.
Actually,
I got
that going. It's moving, so you better have to reset all of those. In January, we're going to move to Wednesday at this time.
Yeah. But then you call. And when you call, this is just a beautiful part of covering Microsoft. You know, they get Skype doing their own thing. They're not paying attention to anything. Skype rings on my PC in three different places, which is hilarious. I love that. And I love that when I answer it, it doesn't stop the other two from ringing. That is amazing. Only Microsoft.
Everywhere.
Also, these other Surface devices that I have here, all of which are off. You know, they're not fully powered down because it's like a connected standby thing. But they ring through, like Skype rings through. So this closed and for all intents and purposes, off Surface device is chiming away like it's possessed by a ghost.
Wouldn't want you to miss this one, Paul. It's a really good call. Here, get it. Come on, open me up.
Paul,
oven,
Paul,
come on.
Paul.
I'm going to write a book, the Swiss Clockmaker's Dilemma. Because it's like in a Swiss clock shop when it's noon, everything goes off at once. Cuckoo, yes. Cuckoo, bong, right. Cuckoo.
It's really, it's my private form of hell, you know? I have a real sensitivity to noise, which is probably age-related for all I know. But, you know, dogs barking, leaf blowers that always seem to go off 5 minutes before the podcast starts outside my window, despite the fact that we don't use leaf blowers. In my own yard, there's like noise everywhere in life, you know? And for this stuff to be concentrated in my own office is like the ultimate affront, you know? And I just can't keep on top of it. Obviously, it's a simple thing to go to a phone and turn off sounds or something. But I always forget that at least 7 of these things go off every day. Every day. So, it's all hell. What I need like the microwave alarm to sound like the Skype calling thing, so I can, like, my eye will start twitching or something, you know.
Why would somebody post that same sentence 18 times in the chat room? Leo should be happy. Blockbuster shutting out all their stores. Why would I be happy?
I told my wife that this morning, and she said, "Blockbuster is still a thing."
That's exactly my reaction. Yep. We haven't had a Blockbuster in Petaluma in years. I don't even know where these 300 Netflix, stores are.
I don't remember the year anymore. Why would I? But when Netflix first was taking off and it was a DVD-only service, everyone was like, oh, I've got to get Netflix. And we joined the Blockbuster one because there was a store in Dedham and you could get two movies at a time. And if you would order them in the mail, but if you brought them back to the store, you would get two more movies, like, from the store for free. And it was like the greatest deal in the world. I can't believe they didn't make it, you know, but obviously having a physical store didn't help them when everything went digital. So I think that was part of the problem.
Yeah. Anyway, so we've now bitched and moaned about our pathetic lives.
I know.
A life that any normal person would really want and envies us for. By the way, when I visited John, it was a real revelation. It was one day, my first visit to John C. Dvorak, that was the first time I ever realized that it might not be a great thing to be the world's number one computer pundit and receive everything you ever, every device that ever came out. So there was this really...
Because this sounds awesome to people.
5-foot pile of UPS boxes, unopened, in front of the door that must have just come that day.
It's like going to a billionaire's house and they have uncashed checks for 100 grand sitting on the refrigerator.
A laptop on every stair level going up. I mean, it must have been 20. And then in his living room, his like formal living room, a pile 4 or 5 feet high of software. And every time I mention this, he's like, yeah, well, you know, that's not normally there. I was about to move it. And the place he was moving it to, he rented a room over a Chevron station down the block. And you'd open the door, be like Fibber McGee's closet. You'd have to brace yourself as all the stuff came tumbling.
I never visited it like physically or personally, but you've heard of Jerry Pournelle's house was very much
Pournelle's
this as well.
The same, exactly.
You know, it's not so much about hoarding. I mean, you feel a responsibility to retain the stuff, right? Because part of the value that you have as a reviewer or commentator,
you're not
whatever,
supposed to sell it. You're not. I guess you could give it away, but you're not supposed to sell.
Well, I mean, obviously, if Microsoft gives me a Surface tablet and then never asks for it back, I'm not going to sell it. I mean, that's
right.
Unethical.
No, you can't.
On many levels.
Yeah,
but you know, if I buy a device,
anything you buy,
I'm not
going to
use it.
Yeah.
I will sell those, and you know, that gets sticky. The problem with that stuff is that if I do it publicly, you know, on my website or wherever.
Well, you've done those
giveaways. You get so many responses from people, and then you feel bad for people because people, you know, a lot of these guys are people that really need it or want it and will use it.
Right.
There's a lot of them, and I only have one of these things or whatever it is.
Remember you did the Everything Must Go?
Yeah, it got too ponderous over time. It was too big, you know?
That was something your wife had
said. I went onto Facebook recently, and I said, hey, I have a bunch of Windows Phone handsets. If I were to give away and or sell these things at very low price, who would be interested? And I got so many responses, even on Facebook, where it's just people I know. I was like, oh, God, I don't know what to do with this stuff.
Now what do you do?
It's just, right. I don't know. Nothing. I stare into the headlamps like a deer.
Yeah. I give most of it away to orphans.
I give away a lot of hardware to church.
That's good.
Charities, yeah.
Yeah, 10% of everything I buy, I give to church. Yeah. No, actually, that is a good way to do it, is just give it to charity.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Ultimately, what you want is for someone to use it.
Right. Moving along from our... you know what? Let's take the benefit of all of this and talk about what you have learned.
Have I learned anything? I don't know. I've learned that I'm not getting any better at this, that it gets worse when more devices come in. I don't know what the heck I'm going to do this year. I mean, with all this stuff. I wish I had some. I'm not sure I learned anything, Leo. I don't know.
But you still have.
What I've learned is I'm screwed.
We've learned nothing, and it's only going to get worse.
And I wish there was a lesson to this.
And that's why I didn't buy a PS4. You now understand why I did not buy a PS4. I bought an Xbox One. And I'm just hoping that somebody here will buy a PS4, and then we can compare notes or something like that. That's about the only way we can do it.
That's nice. At least you have people working there, too. So you have kind of a diversity of people that want different things and will buy different things. And
I am a little bummed, though, that I have all these Xbox 360 versions of games that I am now apparently going to have to rebuy.
Well, there's no reason you can't keep both consoles.
I'm gonna keep the Xbox, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. You know, you play Halo, not Halo, you play Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
It's such a nostalgic trip, you know.
It's still such a great game, too.
Yeah.
I damn them to hell for never finishing the episodes or, you know, doing a new...
They're not going to. I talked to somebody off the record. And
so frustrating.
Apparently very unlikely that they will ever get to a Half-Life 3. Windows Plus. Windows Phone. The Mary Jo's implying next year or the year after probably we'll see Windows 9, which will basically be Windows Phone. We're getting more and more evidence thereof.
Yeah, and they made an announcement this week that I kind of put into as part of this puzzle, because when you step back and think about unifying two similar but not the same platforms, right? Windows Phone and Windows RT, or you know, Windows Store, the Windows Store platform, if you will. You know, how do you get there, right? So they announced previously that they've unified the stores, which doesn't mean a lot. They were still working on the same basic infrastructure. I think what they meant by that was more of an organizational thing, that they now have one team inside of Microsoft responsible for the stores.
Is that a picture of Storm on this article?
I'm not sure who that is.
Why
is that there, you ask?
Yes.
I often choose promo graphics that are related to recent Microsoft promotional videos, and this one was about unrelated to developers, but it was from Microsoft.
I like it.
Developers as superheroes.
There you go. They are superheroes. They are.
So if you're familiar with the Microsoft developer world, you know that Microsoft has a developer program for Windows Phone. which previously was $99 per year, but very recently went down to $19 a year, which is a tremendous bargain. And that gets you the ability to publish apps into the store. They also have what they call a Windows Store program, which is for Windows 8/RT apps. Same deal, but for that platform. They don't have a – it's funny. I looked for the wording of this. They don't actually have a new single program, but they've made it so that if you're a Windows Phone developer, your account works on Windows Store and vice versa. And this is, you know, again, it's a step toward this future. If you happen to have paid for both, you get an additional year on both. Uh-huh. And so, you know, they're giving you that. And so that's all very nice. You know, obviously, for this, the kind of next logical step is unifying those APIs as much as possible. The SDKs, the tools as well, you know, that you can create a project in Visual Studio that targets not just Windows 8 on x86 and x64 and ARM, but also possibly the phone platform as well. You know, I think that's going to be, and that's the thing Mary Jo's been talking about. That's, you know, that part of it.
Right.
I also was reminded of the release of that game, the Halo game, for Windows Phone and for Windows Store, Halo Spartan Assault. Two separate games. If you think about it, four separate executables, because the Windows Store version is x86, x64, and ARM, you know, RT, and then the Windows Store phone version, obviously, is Windows Phone 8. So you have this game that is, by all intents and purposes, identical, like across all of those platforms. But you, if you own all of those devices, you actually have to buy it twice. It's not like on iOS or on Android, where you buy a game from the store, and no matter what kind of device you have, you get to buy, you know, you get to play that game. For the most part, I think that's how it usually works. So if you you know, if you buy Asphalt 8 on Android and you own a phone and you play that game on your phone, but then later on you buy a tablet, you can play Asphalt 8 on your tablet. You don't have to buy it again. And this is
that's nice.
Something we don't, yeah, it's obvious in retrospect, but because, you know, people hear Windows and they think these things are all the same, and they're not really the same. And so it's understandable why someone would say, hey, I bought Halo on Windows Store. Why wouldn't I be able to buy it on, you know, have it on Windows Phone? They're two different platforms today. And so part of this unification is going to enable that kind of thing. I mean, if you think about it, having the game work, or not work across both, but having you buy one game and get access to the other one is not so much a technical issue as it is like a store issue, but the stores were separate, you know, when that game came out. So this is how we get there. Kind of an interesting thing. And it makes sense that you start with developers when you start to make this transition. And, you know, again, the guy who's running Windows development overall is the guy from Windows Phone previously. Not the way anyone would have called it, you know, right, 6 months right. or 9 months or a year ago, whatever. And this suggests very strongly that some of the good practices and stuff that we saw on the Windows Phone side will be making their way to the Windows side, where they are desperately needed. And this is good news. So I'm eager to see where we go from here. But this is a nice, I guess I'd call it the second step, you know, after the store unification.
Yeah, I have high hopes. I am actually finally kind of giving up, and I'm going to go RT. And actually, I can't wait till you have the 2520, so I can hear your review of it.
No, yeah. I am curious about it. Well see, now we have this Dell Venue 11, right. Venue 11, whatever it's called.
But that's Windows Pro, and I'm really saying I think I'm going RT.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
No, I you know what. There are always going to be exceptions. We have to talk about this
a lot. I know
it drives people crazy.
Yeah.
There are always going to be those developers are obvious one. Heavy multitaskers, power users, and all that kind of stuff. People like to have floating windows. You know, they somehow there's a weird psychology to it. It's almost like the start button, start menu thing. It's not that it's the best way of doing anything. It's just what they're used to and they look at Metro and they think, oh, this is ridiculous. Where are the windows? You know, we can't even call this thing Windows anymore, you know. Like, that's the problem, you know, the name of the thing.
Call it Window.
But you know what? Even on a big screen like the one I'm using now, I use this example a lot, but I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, the way that you can't see my screen, but I have it divided in half. I'm using the desktop version of Snap, but I snap the Skype application onto the left, and I snap our notes onto the right, and that's this kind of two-pane view that I look at. And that style of multitasking, that kind of side-by-side thing, is obviously what the Metro stuff is based on currently. Although
nobody will ever need more than two windows.
Well, put another way, most people probably don't even need two.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And two or three, because you can do three, obviously, I think actually does satisfy most needs, even my own needs. You know, and I don't work this way because, like most people that you have used the desktop, is you get used to these kind of odd windows that are floating around, and you can see little corners sticking out here and there and stuff. And I don't know why we think that's particularly productive, but that's what we're used to.
It's not hard to imagine. It was a big debate in the early days of windowing systems, whether you should tile.
Yeah. Well, right. And actually, so, all right, let me go down off on a little side tangent, too. I mean, Bill Atkinson, the guy who created this kind of a system on the Mac, right? He was one of the guys who went with Steve Jobs to
Xerox, Mark,
and saw what they were doing.
Yeah, the Alto.
He misunderstood what he was seeing. He thought that what they were doing was more sophisticated than it was. And so I don't want to say he created bit blitting. I don't think that's exactly what it was. But this system of floating menu, floating windows and so forth, I think the early Mac, probably the way they did it was they had an outline of the window and you would move it.
That's exactly
and
right.
And then when you look over, it would redraw. I think that's how they did it.
He didn't have enough juice to do it.
Well, he thought that Xerox was doing something like that, and they weren't. The thing that he created was more sophisticated than what Xerox had because he misunderstood. It was, you know, play tricks on his eyes.
Right.
Everything we've done since then has been like a side result of this misunderstanding. And we sort of attribute like a professionalism or a powerfulness to that. But, you know, I think when you look and you kind of study humanity and how we get distracted and all that kind of stuff, I wouldn't be surprised to discover that that's not, in fact, very productive and that most people only do like one or two things at a time. And that having something you're referencing and then something you're writing, if that's what you do in life, like I do, is maybe enough. And that beyond that, it's just a matter of user interface design, where how do we efficiently switch out what you're looking at and all that kind of stuff. But having windows everywhere, that may in fact be the opposite of productive for a lot of people. So, you know, again, people freak out anytime we talk about this stuff. I have to keep reminding everyone that I am the prototypical desktop user. I can't count because they're stacked up so high, but I've got dozens of windows open on my screen right now. I work just like you do. I'm just the messenger. But I try to look at it objectively, and I think the system we're heading to might, in fact, actually make more sense. And I think that's something we all need to at least consider.
I just here's an article from 1986 from the ACM Journal, the Association of Computing Machinery. Mm-hmm. And it is a comparison of tiled and overlapping windows. The summary, it is widely believed that overlapping windows are preferable to tiled, but there is very little research to support that belief. An analysis of the basic characteristics of windowing regimes, this is in 84 or 86, predicts that there are, in fact, situations where overlapping windows are inferior to tiled.
Yep.
An experiment to test this prediction verified there are indeed tasks and users for which tiled windows yield faster performance. This is almost 30 years ago.
Yeah. You know, to me, that's just common sense. I mean, I think we get stuck in these things. They're like traditions. And I call that kind of that belief that floating windows are more productive. You know, I call that common knowledge. I'm not even sure why anymore, and I'm not sure that's the best term. But it's one of those things that everyone, you say that, and you this windows is powerful. You have all these floating windows. And everyone kind of nods their head. That's exactly right. Why do we think that?
Right.
You know, like what makes you think that? I know that when you go from something like the Windows desktop to Metro and you see a single full screen app, looks like kind of a Fisher-Pricey kind of a thing, or maybe you split the screen in half, and in either case, that thing seems kind of unsophisticated compared to what you were doing. And your initial, many people, their initial reaction is to belittle that new thing because it's not as powerful as what they're using now. It's not as sophisticated, but it seems like we should have been learning all along, smartphones and tablets, you know, where simplicity rules. I mean, you can go too far on the simplicity thing, but I think we just didn't understand how far we had gone on the complexity thing before.
Right.
And that we ended up harming our productivity as a result.
By the way, just that out of an interest, that article came out of Xerox PARC.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
So how interesting, right? So, you know, again, the guys from Apple saw something at Xerox and in some cases, at least, misunderstood, you know, like what they were saying. And they made it so that everything could kind of overlap, you know?
Yep. And look at the tiles.
Like, that's not what they were doing. Yep. Nope. You know, that it looked like it a little bit, you know? It's funny. Yeah, people, we've spent so much time managing Windows, you know?
It's what we're used to. That's the point.
Today, right? You can right-click the taskbar today, and you can cascade windows.
Right.
You can show your windows stacked. Right. You can show them side by side.
Snap.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, are you doing any work? No, I'm managing windows.
So the you know? So the unification, the grand unification underway, I guess. I mean, this is what you start with, developers. Makes sense. And good news, Microsoft's giving Windows 8.1 to nonprofits for free.
Yeah, if there's not really much to say.
If they were
here,
charging them, I would be really...
Yeah. Right. I suspect with every Windows version, they open this up through their volume licensing service center. I think the point of this announcement is it is now available.
Right.
So if you have been waiting for it, it is now available.
It's from the post is from the Microsoft Citizenship team.
Yeah.
That's a good team to be on.
Yes.
Corporate Citizenship blog.
Yeah.
Our show, Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley has the day off for our show today, brought to you by our folks at Squarespace.com, the secret behind exceptional websites. It's both hosting and content management software. So it's the best of both worlds. Best hosting because, well, frankly, with Squarespace, you never go down. You never have to worry about security. These guys, I don't know what they do. They're wizards. I think it partly one of the advantages they have is how tightly integrated the software that you're running is to the hosting software beneath it. So when your site gets really busy, they can flip it's automatically flipped a switch that throws more bandwidth at it. The sites look great too. In fact, if you go to squarespace.com and click the Get Started button, you can have the run of the place for 2 weeks and you'll start with a template. Now you'll see 20 gorgeous new templates, all of them mobile responsive. That means they look great no matter what size screen, from a 4-inch iPhone to a 27-inch, actually to an 85-inch perceptive pixel display. And that's really nice. Here's Momentum. This is a full-bleed template that a lot of artists like because you get to the images look so, so good on it. But the point is, as soon as you start with a template, you're going to customize it. You don't need to be an expert in CSS or JavaScript or any of that stuff. You just drag and drop, point and click your way to a unique site. Here's one from a photographer. This is S. Belanger Photography. And this is why, you know, the Momentum is just so beautiful. I mean, his images just fill the page. It's just really nice what you could do with Squarespace. So try it. Is what I would ask you to do is just play with it a little bit and see if it's something that you like, something you want to use. You can import all of your existing data into it from your blog or your website. If you decide, hey, this is right for me, look at this. Go to the pricing, and you will be blown away. I don't know how they do this. It starts at $8 a month with an annual plan, but I think you're going to want to go for the $16 a month unlimited plan. That's when you buy a year. You'll get unlimited bandwidth. You never get a bandwidth bill. You could become the most popular site on the internet. You could be the next Wikipedia. Never get a bill. Unlimited pages, unlimited galleries, blogs, unlimited contributors, unlimited storage, and on and on and on. Plus, when you sign up for that year plan, you'll get a custom domain. They'll hook it up for you free. .com.org.net.mobi.biz or .info. Now, do you want to sell something? Here comes the holiday season. Perhaps you are like Mick the Wick in our chat room, a candle maker, and you've got a bunch of candles you've been making all year long. Mick, you could sell these $24 a month, unlimited digital or physical products or even services. There are no transaction fees, although if you don't have a merchant account, they'll set you up with Stripe and you'll be ready to go within minutes. Of course, unlimited pages, storage, bandwidth, and contributors. They will do inventory tracking for you. They'll help you with tax calculations. That's non-trivial. Shipping, coupon controls. It is really great. If you are a developer, they have a developer platform that's spectacular. The code is gorgeous if you've ever looked at the underlying code. They take as much pride in their back-end code as they do in their front-end.
I love Squarespace. Here's the deal. Try it for free. Click the Get Started button. 2 weeks free. If you decide you want to buy, use our offer code WINDOWS11, and you'll get 10% off on your new account. Buy a year plan that makes it especially affordable. Squarespace.com. Windows 11 is the offer code. We do thank them for their support. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, and Windows Weekly.
I hope we're still kicking around when Windows 11 is a thing.
Windows 11?
Your code there from Squarespace.
You know, back when it was July and it was Windows 7, we thought we were going backwards. Then it was August, it was Windows 8, and we thought, hey, we're right on time. But then September came along and it was Windows 9. Mm. Next month, Windows 12.
We should revisit it every month with a look back.
You know, in January, I think it'll be Windows 1.
Right. 1985.
Back when the debate over tiled versus overlapping windows was
still
raging.
Right, quite pressing.
Raging.
Yep. I was using Commodore Jane on my 128.
Oh, my gosh. I was using Atari Gem.
Actually, I was using GEOS, is what it was.
Oh, yeah, on your Amiga.
Yeah. Well, no, it was 64 back then still.
Oh, really? Yeah. So 86, I had a Mac. I bought my Mac when they came out in 84. And I think
Commodore 64
my
back
PC
then.
Back then was remember Eagle?
Yes.
I think I had an Eagle.
My dad got an actual IBM PC when they first came out for his work, for his company. And I went out to check it out. And I remember... being completely underwhelmed by MS-DOS and how useless it was compared to like the Commodore, right?
I have to type a batch file. What is that?
I just thought
about?
It was so silly. Yeah,
you copy files. How?
I'm like, someone needs to start writing about computers. This is ridiculous.
Now, CPM had pip, but I think the DOS had the command was copy.
That's right. Yep, yeah. Pip was on CPM.
Pip.
Yeah.
Remember that?
It was awesome. I do remember that.
Pip. Big updates for Office, especially for Office for the web. Tell us about that.
It's funny. I read my own headline as Bing updates for Office, which I'd say was a little less interesting.
Why did I write about
this? Yeah, this is big news in a way. I mean, you know, from an Office 365 perspective. First is that Office web apps finally gets real-time co-authoring, right? And this is, I would say, the one feature that was part of Google Docs for a while now because of its web-based nature, I think. That for some reason we just didn't have on the Office web app side. So that's a big deal. And I've used this. It's very interesting in use. You've got little flag cursors for each person who's in the document. I had a three-person collaboration thing going. It results in a document that looks a lot like my Office when people are all typing over each other. It's really funny. But it works. And that's cool. And I think that's what a lot of people have been looking for. There are some other minor updates to the web apps across the board. I think PowerPoint gets the smallest update. Excel has a bunch more chart types, and they have this kind of status bar, what do they call the term? Aggregators. Like it puts, you can highlight blocks of cells, and it will do sums and things like that right in the status bar, so you can see that stuff live. And then Word has some big updates as well, the Word web app. You've got the ability to add page numbers and do the formatting on page numbers, headers and footers, page breaks and things like that. So this is kind of in keeping with their rapid release cycle for Office in general. And so the Office web apps, this was a kind of a big one because they've been talking about real-time co-authoring since, I want to say June, probably at Build is when they previewed it. And now it's available for everybody. The thing they haven't added yet is the ability to access the full functionality of Office web apps from Android tablets. They're telling me that this will happen before the end of the year, and so that's still on schedule to happen. So there'll be further updates as well. And then on the Office 365 Home Premium front, I just need to look this one up because this one's a little more complex, but obviously they're getting the Office web app updates, right? So that's part of the Office 365 subscription. But what they've done is they've changed the way that you access the subscription. So the way it works today is, you know, myself, maybe as the head of my family, would go into the store and I would go online and I would buy Office 365 Home Premium. And then I would need to go to each one of my kids' computers or my wife's computer and I would install the end user applications on there. But then they would sign in with their Microsoft account so they could have that personalized experience. The way it's working now, or I think these changes are coming next month. The way it will work going forward is that anyone could do this. And so you can give access to the subscription to those people instead of you doing it yourself. And what that means is they can log into office.com with their account, but gain access to the subscription you bought for everybody. And then they can do the install themselves. And so it kind of spreads out the administration of the account to everyone. They're also allowing you to actually decide which account that's associated with the subscription gets the 20 gigabytes of additional SkyDrive storage that you get as part of Office 365. So if you were to do that today, you as the person that bought the subscription would be the one that got the 20 gigabytes of additional space. But the way it will work going forward is that you can assign it to any of the accounts that are part of the subscription. So a lot of stuff there. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and you get it automatically if you're a web fella. By the way, again, I don't know what you're smoking, but your article has a muffin. but it goes with the other picture, I realize. So there's two articles, one about the web and one about desktop.
It's from the same video. It is from the Office team at Microsoft.
And the other
person
one
is working on Office somehow on a tablet, like a Surface tablet.
And the other one's the other view.
Yeah.
And then I get it.
See?
Very clever.
It makes sense.
You got to read the sequel, and it'll all make sense.
In the old days, you know, I would make these little graphics for my website, and I don't remember the size anymore, but they were a certain size, some ridiculous
size. You'd
draw
them?
Yeah, in Photoshop or whatever. And then, as life moves forward, everything gets more graphical. And, with the new CMS, we have these hero graphics or promo graphics you have to kind of associate so that they show up.
Right.
And they have to be photographs, you know.
Well, they have to be photographs. They can't be drawings.
Well, they can be, but it's better if they're
at that size. Yeah. So I think what you should do now, from now on, is just pick completely random images.
Well, we have a stock photography service we subscribe to.
Right.
And I look through that stuff and I say, well, yeah, okay, I could use this stuff. But Microsoft puts out all those great videos, and so I just use still frames from the video.
I like that, actually. But I'm telling you, if you just had a picture of, like, I don't know, an orangutan at the zoo. Yeah, exactly. And then everybody would start to say, these are cryptic. I wonder what they mean.
Yep. There's a hidden meaning. This is like Lost. I have to look for the hidden meaning.
Yeah.
Maybe I should do that.
I think it'd be funny.
Like a Where's Waldo kind of thing.
I think it'd be a hoot.
What I should do is embed like a line drawing of my coffee cup logo in the photo somehow. And then you'd have to find me in the picture.
Oh, like Hitchcock.
Or
Waldo.
Right. Probably more like Waldo in my case. But.
So we have, this is the point of the show where we were supposed to talk about Call of Duty Ghosts instead of all the other places I brought it up. Is there any?
Right.
You have been playing. Now, somebody said the single player version is just there for the times you're for some reason your internet's off and it gives you something to do.
Right.
Is that true?
Yeah. I've always been a sucker for the single player games. And that's true of Call of Duty as well as other games, like Halo is a good example. You know, I think I don't know how many, like, if you were to say there are 20 million people that play Halo, it's possible that 18 million of them only played multiplayer. I have no idea what the actual figure is, but I like the single player campaigns.
I do too.
And I like this one too. I'm exactly 50% done with the single player campaign based on the number of levels there are. I have been splitting my time between single player and multiplayer, which I've done for the last few versions. It's amazing to think that this is that far back. But if you go back and think about this, Call of Duty 4, which was the first Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 5, which was the final World War II game, was followed by Modern Warfare 2, was followed by Black Ops, was followed by Modern Warfare 3, was followed by Black Ops 2, and now we have Ghosts. That's 7 games. So 7 years ago, when Modern Warfare came out, the first one.
I'm sorry, I'm drifting off. Go ahead.
I know, it's crazy. No, but you think how long ago this is.
Yeah.
But that was the game that added, that was the game that started us down this path where we're at today. And I mean that from both the single player perspective and the multiplayer perspective. Because on the single player front, now it's made up. It's not based on history anymore. Call of Duty 5, World at War, they went back to history for one more, but that was about it. And so Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, was the first one where the completely new story, not based on history. On the multiplayer front, though, and, you know, and I was a guy who played multiplayer on Call of Duty 2 and 3 and loved it. Mm-hmm. 4 was the one where they added the notion of, like, customizable loadouts, where you could customize the weapon in increasingly complex ways. Over time, they added the notions of things like prestiging, leveling up. Well, leveling up was always in there, but, you know, kill streaks and all this stuff. And as you move forward, 4 to 5 to, you know, across the years, it has gotten more and more complex. And I made the observation probably a couple of years ago now that God help anyone who has heard about the explosive excitement of Call of Duty, and I'm going to jump right in and
you
start playing this game.
You said, don't start. I don't know how you was a couple of versions ago. You said, don't start. Go back.
Yes, it is very complicated. And, for someone who spent a lot of time in Call of Duty, you know, I played Black Ops 2 over the past year. You know, the differences between the games are fascinating. You've got two studios, Treyarch and Infinity Ward, you know, making alternate games. And so there are the differences that are from that. You know, so every other game have similarities. You know, this game, because it's Infinity Ward, is a lot more like Modern Warfare than it is like Black Ops. But they also build off of the other one in some ways, and then they add their own things. And the complexity builds and the capabilities builds. It's like anything else in technology. And, you know, this is like Call of Duty turned up to 11. And I made a couple of observations about some of the silly stuff that are in this game. There's a great review in the New York Times where he goes even further. He talks about all of the places that this game steals from. And it's everything from a thermal exhaust port, which is a Star Wars reference, to an actual shark fight, which is, you know, I have not yet witnessed. It is ludicrous. I mean, it's almost like the movie Shoot 'Em Up, where it's crazy violent, but it's so silly you like kind of laugh out loud at it. It really is. It's getting kind of silly. So, you know, Modern Warfare, those three games are obviously about modern warfare, as the name suggests. The Black Ops games span time frames. And so over the course of the two games, they had Cold War stuff, they had Modern Warfare stuff, and they had a little bit of Future War. And then you get to this new series now we're starting with Ghosts, and now it's like post-apocalypse.
There's literally a shootout outside starts the International with, Space like, Station.
Yes, it's like the movie Gravity. And by the way, it is exactly like the movie Gravity.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the game, the United States has space weapons that are taken over by essentially terrorists from South America, of course, because they're the great threat to the cell. And, you know, that's how we think of those. Those guys are all having siestas in the afternoon and plotting world domination. And they blow up all the major cities in the United States. And now we're in this post-apocalyptic world. You get to the point where you don't know how they're going to raise the bar again. I mean, it seems almost ludicrous every time. So it's got that kind of nature to it. It's like they're also trying to be more inclusive, right? So there are women now in the game, kind of like...
There's a family drama, he says.
I don't know about that. Well, in the sense that there's a family of people in the game. By the way, I believe the father that he's referring to in the family drama is the guy from Terra Nova and Avatar, I think. The awesome, you know, marine guy from Avatar. I believe that's the guy's voice. There's always famous people in these movies. You hear the voice and you think, I know this. I know who this is. I think that's who this is. I just don't know. I feel it's almost ludicrous sometimes. So we have dogs. You have attack dogs. I made the joke, but I'm very serious about this. I really think they need to attack cats.
Anybody's ever had a cat knows.
I think, honestly, if it came down to it and it was you and a dog in an arena, chances are pretty good you could take down the dog. But if a cat goes after you, you're going to get messed up. You are going
to
get messed up.
Doesn't even have to be could be a little putty tat.
Yeah, it could be a little one.
Doesn't have to be a big cat.
All he has to do is wait till you go to sleep.
Rated M for mature. For throat knifings, profanity, and a dog that feasts on human necks.
Throat knifings.
Throat knifings.
Is that what it says?
Yep.
There are a lot of throat knifings.
Yeah. He says it's like Mario, but with throat knifing.
Yeah. That's a good review. That's a good one.
I can't believe the New York Times is doing video game reviews, but it actually is. I don't know.
They've been doing that for a while. Is that guy? Is that Saul? Somebody?
Chris Sullentrop.
That's someone else. Okay, so
Sullentrop.
Whoever that is, that's a good review. That's
good. He talks a lot about the irony and the in jokes and stuff. And I think it makes me want to play it. But are you saying it's hopeless for me to start with this version?
I think that the single player experience would be fine.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn it all the way down.
And, you know, in some ways, it prepares you a little bit for... Right. for
so what's your loadout? Tell everybody in the chat room, Caffeine Free Dave wants to know, what is Paul Thurrott's loadout?
I cannot tell you that now because I've literally...
Are you a sniper? Do you like to lurk in the background and take out people with headshots from 100 meters away? Or are you one of those big bazooka kind of guys that gets down there in the trenches?
Okay. First of all, my on Xbox Live, you have a slogan that you can attach to your profile.
Yeah, what's your slogan?
And my slogan is, you have a camping problem. That's okay. I'm the solution.
You don't like campers.
I do not camp. I do not sit there with a sniper rifle under a bush waiting for someone to walk into a room or whatever. I run around. I prefer assault weapons, assault rifles, I should say.
Something with a highly automatic.
Yeah, but I've just gotten started. You know, with Black Ops, you go through a kind of progression. But Black Ops 2, I think, I don't remember which game anymore. Let's say Black Ops 2 introduced the concept of weapon prestiging. And so I prestiged up all of the assault rifles. I went to small machine guns. I went to light machine guns. And I don't think I ever finished on snipers. But I went through that kind of a progression. And so this game just came out 2 days ago. So I've only used a handful of assault rifles. I've noticed I've gotten rid of some stuff that I really like. They don't have any good Claymore-type weapons. They don't have, you know, things have changed. So it's going to take a little while to kind of suss out what the optimal loadout types are and all that kind of stuff. So it's early days, but it is a little weird. I have to say, I'm used to running around in these virtual Call of Duty worlds, and a girl with a ponytail goes running by, and you're like,
"What?
What was that?"
What?
I mean, it's interesting.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to. I didn't get it for the PC and. Or Xbox 360. I'm holding out. Xbox One or nothing. Yeah. Xbox One. You would say that it's worth... Well, of course, it's worth buying.
Yeah,
You've got to buy it. Every single...
Well, a lot of people now have seized upon my questioning of this game as, you know, an inroad for me to start playing Battlefield instead, you know, and I appreciate your efforts. And I will, of course, try Battlefield, but, you know, each one of these games has... started off with this really impressive presentation, but the style of multiplayer to me is not as, it's just not as interesting as the Call of Duty stuff. And I, you know, it's kind of a tough thing. I'm the built-in audience for this game. It's very easy for me to say it's more of the same because it is, but I also like it and I just can't, I have a disease. I just like Call of Duty. I don't know. So that's the way it is. Sorry.
Here's your dog.
Yeah, look at him. He's just mauled that guy in the throat, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah. About time he did something. He usually just stands there like a dope. You know how long it took me to get that screenshot of him actually killing something? Sits next to me going, dummy.
It's like my dog. Kill, Ozzy. Kill.
Yeah.
So here's a
well,
little
Well, in single player, when you have the dog on your team in single player, you can point it at something and say, attack it. And I assumed in multiplayer you'd be able to do that. That would be great. You know, you see someone up on a sniping somewhere and you think this guy's dog's going to run around the back and go get him. Nope. Just sits there like a dope. Yeah, you see, look at that guy. He's shooting you over there. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
I love it, though, that you end your review with a screenshot of you winning.
Yeah.
You're not only your team winning, but you number one on the team.
Nice.
Massive points.
I don't mess around. That's not even a particularly good game, but I just got started with this game, so.
Massive points. I'm excited. November 22nd, that'll last you'll see of me.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You have a Windows 8.1 book?
Yes.
Oh.
I mentioned this briefly one time when the IS was hosting. He called this a little shilly, but
You're a little shilly.
I don't care.
Are you shilly?
So this week, you know, Raphael and I have been working on this new book, and we're doing it like I did the Windows Phone book, except this time I'd like to get paid for it. And, you know, we've talked a lot about how that could work and what the best way to do that is and all that kind of stuff. And for now, we're just calling it Windows 8.1 book, you know, just to make it obvious. We'll come up with some final name, whatever. But
you don't want to use Secrets anymore? Or?
Well, I can't use a Secrets name because it's Wiley.
Oh,
you know, Wiley contacted us to do... Windows 8.1 Secrets. And I had the same conversation with this company I have every year, which is like, okay, but what I want to do is this dynamic thing where we can update it. It's an ebook and there's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a great idea. And then they come back and they're like, look, look, we think you have great ideas. We want to do this, but we really just need to get this book done. So for this one, could we just get it published and then we'll think about this next time? And so, no. So I told them this is, you know, after... I mean, I love the guys at Wiley. I love, you know, Wiley's a great company, all that. There's nothing bad about that.
No, but I think it's time to look at a online...
Yeah, they need to do this like a... Yeah. So,
Is the book done?
No. So it's in progress. The hope is we'll get to kind of a 1.0 point by the end of the year. We wanted to open it up for, for people to pay as we were doing it, see how that kind of went. It's kind of an awkward thing asking people to pay. But what we decided on... The payment stuff, first of all, if you don't want to pay for it, you don't have to.
You pick your price, which I think is cool.
Yeah, it's suggested price is $2. We wanted to do it like an app model. We will be like Windows Phone Secrets. We'll keep it updated. You know, we'll get it to a point, but we'll keep going forward. And I really am hoping for some feedback along the lines of, there's stuff you're not covering. This would be useful to me. Let me know what that is, and we'll cover that kind of stuff. I want this book to be really useful. I also want it to be a no-brainer in the sense that, you know, you could go into a bookstore and buy a Kindle book that costs $20, $25 or whatever. But by pricing it this way, it would be painless for people to do so. Along the lines of doing the Windows phone book, I had a lot of people emailing me saying, look, I know you're trying to do this for free, but this is clearly worth something. You know, is there some way I could pay?
Let them pay for it. I think that's good.
No, I didn't do it for that. That one's free. You know, that will always be free. But, hopefully over time, what we could do is establish a collection of books and then work on getting those updated as new versions come out and all that kind of stuff. So we just kind of launched the payment stuff and the website yesterday. And I'd say it's about somewhere between a third and a quarter done. You know, I think we have 5 chapters, I think. And it's whatever. I'll do it like I did before. We'll crank it out over time and hopefully make something that people want. You know, so we'll see how
awesome.
That goes.
Awesome, awesome. Go to windows81book.com if you want to participate.
I'm like a virtual busker. Is that the right word?
Don't feel, you know, I don't know what this I.S. Schilling thing is. He's just jealous he doesn't have a book.
I don't feel in any way
reticent about promoting your books. People want your books.
I feel weird about asking.
Stop it.
For people to pay for something.
Do you think Gary Vaynerchuk feels weird about asking people to buy something?
I don't know how he feels. I'm not him. You know, I just
get on out there.
I kind of like to just sit there and do my stuff and, you know, whatever.
I'm the same way. You notice that I did not build this network on donations. And the main reason is I didn't want to stop for a pledge break every few weeks or every few hours or every few minutes.
Right. Sure. The worst part of PBS.
So I have somebody else beg sponsors for money, and I keep my little hands clean.
Yeah, I mean,
clean.
On the super site, obviously, I live off of ad revenue. I have no idea who does that or how it works or whether there are ads or how annoying they are or whatever. I'm removed from it, you know.
That's the right way to do it.
Well, it's nice when it works, but.
Yeah. We don't have a beer, but we do have.
No, I thought about that. You know, it's funny because had Mary Jo not picked Madit last week.
That would have been one.
I probably would have picked that. I've been meaning to tell Mary Jo, we were in Whole Foods and we bought Smash Pumpkin based on her recommendation. My wife and I both thought it was terrible. but it was kind of a hoppy beer, which I feel like. My favorite beers are things that are either hard to find or impossible to find, depending on where you are. We drink a lot of local beer that you can't get outside of.
Right.
Boston area, for example. But, you know, Madit is big. Le Fin du Monde, obviously, is big.
Le Chouf.
Any of the Chimay's are huge for me.
Le Chouf.
Le Chouf, but you can't get Le Chouf in the United States.
Somebody sent me Le Chouf. I have a bottle in my fridge.
I'm sorry. That's not true. You can get Le Chouf. You can get Le Chouf.
You can mail order it.
Yeah, no, I can get it locally. Oh, I forgot about that. Yep. That's obviously, you know, very right at the top of my list. But I don't know. I feel like we've already hit on all these things.
Well,
I would say it's going to be gone like any day now, but the October, what are they calling it? Yeah, I guess Oktoberfest that Sam Adams put out this year. It's fantastic.
There you go.
Should be in their regular rotation, but it won't be.
That's a Bock beer, isn't it? Somebody, Rye says, why not a Bock beer?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. We are going to take a break, come back. Paul does have a tip, some software. Yep.
Lots of stuff. But first, by Fred's, a word from Stamps.com. These days you can get everything on demand, right? My podcasts, my shows. You listen when you want, when it's convenient for you. That makes a lot of sense. That's, I think, why people love podcasts. So why aren't you buying your postage on demand? Why are you making the post office determine what hours you can buy stamps? You could do it on demand whenever it's convenient for you with, you got it, stamps.com. I want you to go to stamps.com right now and try it for free. You can print your postage right from your computer. You don't need special ink. You don't need a special printer. Your inkjet or your laser works just fine. It does stuff that nothing else can do. Print right on the envelope with a logo, return address, automatically pulls the addresses you're sending it to from your address book or your QuickBooks. You sell on eBay, Etsy, Amazon, PayPal. Boy, that would be, stamps is a must for you guys. It'll actually fill out all the forms, even international forms, puts the return, shippee's address on the envelope or on a sticker for your package. And if you use Priority Mail, Express Mail, it automatically sent an email out with a tracking number and everything. Anything you could do at the post office, you could do right from your desk with stamps.com. So here's the deal. Go to stamps.com right now and take advantage of our special trial offer. It's no risk to you. Stamps.com. Now, you're going to see right on the front page a nice deal, but click the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter the offer code WINDOWS, and we're going to make that nice deal a really nice deal. Our special offer, $55 in free postage. Wow. That's for the first few months. You have to spread it out a little bit. You get a digital scale, USB digital scale. You plug in, and it'll always tell you exactly how much postage you need. No more guessing. You pay the shipping and handling, and that's all on that. I think it's $5. There is a $5 supply kit and a four-week trial of Stamps.com. That's a $110 value. Go to Stamps.com. Use the offer code WINDOWS. We know so many of our listeners have tried Stamps.com and are so happy with it. And I just hear from people all the time. I want you to try it. If you do if you have a Christmas card list, probably not worth it. But if you do mailing from your business, if you send out invoices, anything you do in a business, packages, fulfillment, Stamps.com makes it so easy. Stamps.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use our offer code WINDOWS for a $110 no-risk trial offer. Stamps.com. Windows Weekly, Paul Thurrott. Mary Jo Foley has the week off. Time for Paul's tip of the week.
What is my tip of the week?
Everything you need to know about Surface 2.
That's a little self-serving. Well,
I wrote it, so I know, says Paul Thurrott.
So I've written a lot of articles about Surface 2. And by Surface 2, I don't mean just the device. I mean Surface 2 and Surface Pro 2 and all of the accessories. So I've reviewed all of this stuff now. I think I've hit just about everything. But this is a complete guide to my coverage of these devices. And so if you have not purchased one, you're wondering about it, and you're curious about, you know, whether you should get one and so forth, this is kind of the complete, well, as it says, the complete guide. It's almost like it's the complete guide to Surface 2.
Everything you ever wanted to know about Surface 2.
Yeah, I mean, over time, there'll be more Surface stuff happening. There's a power keyboard coming early next year, and there'll be a small device and
You've
all that kind of stuff.
You've written a lot of articles.
I know.
That's a long list.
Yep. Well, you know, the reason I put those things together is people will write me sometimes and they'll say, hey, how come you never wrote about this? You know, and I'll think, I thought I did write about that. And I have to look it up. And often I do, you know. And so this kind of thing is helpful because it you know, aggregates everything I've written about a particular topic into a single spot.
So there you go. As King somebody, I think George III, said to William Gibbon, scribble, 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 eh, Mr. Thurrott?
Right. All work and no play.
Makes Jacka.
Although I just explained how I was spending a lot of time with Call of Duty 2. So Call of Duty Ghost. But obviously I'm doing a little bit of both.
You're a busy guy.
Yeah.
Is Prince William Henry, Duke of Gloucester and Edinburgh in 1781.
Hello.
Upon receiving the second volume of Gibbon's famous Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire.
Right.
I'm sorry, I got to get it right. The History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire.
Scribble, scribble, scribble. Hey, Mr. Gibbon?
And then he just threw the book in the fire.
Another one.
Kindling.
Too many notes. Kindling.
Yep. Overwriting has always been a problem.
Yeah. It is. I have it. It's.
Yeah, no, it's a disease.
8 volumes or something.
Sure.
Your software pick of the week, let me guess.
Actually, I did. It's funny. So I guess I could have just picked Call of Duty for the Xbox 360, but there's a Call of Duty companion app for Windows Phone that they're going to eventually enable second screen experiences for, which I'm very curious about. But now what it allows you to do is log in with the Microsoft account you use in the game, and then you can bring up – you can actually like work on your loadouts on the way to work. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's what I like. That's what I need. Now, there was an app for Android and iPhone before.
Yeah, Call of Duty Elite. Yep. Elite. This is like an updated version for Ghost.
Okay. Is it also on other platforms or just Windows Phone?
I believe it's – I don't know. I thought it was just Windows Phone, but it's possible. And I wouldn't be surprised if it appeared on iOS and Android as well. I'm actually not sure about that.
Because I want to – I mean, apparently I need to work on my build-outs.
Yes.
So I need a program. you would
it's
think.
Not, I mean, yes, right. I mean, it's funny because you're confronted by
look at this
X number of weapons.
Yeah.
And then you have, yeah, so actually there it is. It's the second one over.
There's so many.
Yeah.
That's from Activision.
Well, the first couple there are official games.
This is Elite.
Call of Duty Strike Force, whatever that is, a strike team is a game.
Right.
But the one we Call of Duty Black Ops, the zombie game is a game.
What clan are you in, by the way?
This is the one I'm talking about.
Are you in a clan?
No.
No.
I'm also a clan of one.
Can you imagine Paul in a kilt, really?
Well, not that kind of a clan.
Oh.
So the reason I'm not in a clan is because I don't like to talk to people when I play. I don't, you know, for a lot of people, Call of Duty or any of these games is something, you know, you spend the day at work, you work from 9 to 5, you commute, you're sitting in traffic, you hate yourself. You eat dinner with your wife or whatever, and then you have like an hour to kill. And that hour could be really intense. You get on the headset with your buddies and you're talking and there's a guy in the hill and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. I don't really focus on it like that. I do it in little bursts. And so if you think about it, like I sit in front of my computer all day long and I work and I write and you can see how much stuff I do. It's not like I'm, you know, slagging off or anything. But over the course of the day, I'll hop in and out of the game. Like the game sits here running all day, but I'll go in and I'll play a level between two articles or something. And I like to go in and out. And for me, like the clan stuff just wouldn't work. I don't have that kind of a schedule, nor do I have that kind of dedication or attention span. I literally want to go in. And that's why Call of Duty is nice. You know, a match is 10, 12 minutes, whatever, and you're done. You know, so I don't want the continuation of anything. I just want to get in and out. But, you know, for a lot of people, it takes it. And Battlefield probably is even better for this because it's more team oriented. You know, that the clan stuff is a big deal for some.
And let's see, that's tip and software. So I think,
I do have one more software pick. I should just mention. And you got to click on that link at the end there. Microsoft released Internet Explorer 11 for Windows 7 today. This software is also included as part of Windows 8.1. So if you have Windows 8.1, you get it for free. If you have Windows 8, you can upgrade to Windows 8.1 to get it. And obviously on Windows 8X, Internet Explorer is both the modern, you know, kind of mobile version of the browser as well as the desktop version. IE 11 for Windows 7 is just the browser. So it's the same, the desktop version. It's the same rendering engine, most of the same advances and advantages of the platform and all that kind of stuff. And then there's this weird anime thing going on with IE that I'm never going to understand. Oh, that's weird. That's actually different.
Well, that's the link. Internet
so
Explorer.
Click on the little, see the little arrows at the
but
bottom.
See, I'm on a Mac, so I'm not using IE.
I'm wondering. Yeah, I'm thinking this is telling you something's wrong. So click on the.
It says sob sob. I guess I can't. I can't use this.
Can't. So you can't see it.
Oh.
So all right. I mean, so basically, what you're missing are a series of I don't know if it's manga style or whatever anime, where it's like the girls with the short skirts and the humongous eyes, and she's got an IE logo, and she's almost like a superhero or something. Apparently, in certain parts of the world. If you want to sell a product, you got to have an anime thing going on. And the IE guys, I guess, embrace this or whatever. So
really?
There's been this IE anime stuff going on for years. And like I said, I don't really understand it. But let's see if I can bring this thing up. I think I had it.
It's Internet Explorer Tan.com. Is that right?
Oh, where is it?
Let me see what happens in Chrome.
Oh, using
it. It takes me to a Facebook page. Is that what's supposed to happen?
No.
I get the idea.
It should be a full screen.
I get the idea. I mean, I'm seeing. It says Internet Explorer. Inori.
So go to the photos. The photos link. Okay. That image there is one of the back. They look like desktop wallpapers. Yeah. So this is some of them. So if you click on any of those,
that's just what I want.
Yeah, stuff like that. So you can see, like, there's a Microsoft keyboard. There's a Lumia phone in there. There's a Surface, and it's this kind of anime chick.
with a cat.
An IE headband.
Why is it in anime the humans have giant eyes, but the cats have just slits for
eyes? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't get it. Like I said, I don't understand.
It says you can download Inori.
Yeah, of course.
The world's most popular browser just got cuter.
Yikes.
Download the new Internet Explorer Inori version and try out the fast fluid browser. So there's a special version of this?
Is there a version of the browser, really?
It says there's a special version.
That's too bad. Well, I can't explain this, Leo. All I can do is point to it and say, this looks weird to me.
So. Yeah. I'm going to run home and try this on my Surface.
Weird. Yeah. Maybe better than Sleepnir.
Weird. Apparently, there's a video, if I can find it, in one of the Facebook albums. Let's see. Here's the video. Let's watch the Inori video, which is on YouTube, and I think I can play YouTube. I don't know. You know, audio on YouTube, there's something wrong with the audio on YouTube.
This is going to be like this girl in Ghost in the Shell.
Well, here we are. It's late at night in a strange city. Looks like Tokyo. And here comes somebody running through the... But I presume this is the Japanese market, or no?
I think so. A Korean.
Is it worldwide? Animation is so crappy in anime.
She's running from web standards.
Looks like a portal gun. Oh, they got her. They killed her. This is terrible. Oh, they're aliens. Mechs. That have cat heads.
I'm surprised it doesn't have like a Firefox logo on it.
Yeah, no, might as well. Oh.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Now suddenly she's dancing with a Windows on her butt. She's got the Windows logo on a little flap on her skirt. Oh.
This is very 1980s video game. Like the Turrican music, but the dance version.
So Microsoft spent a lot of money on this to promote Internet Explorer 11 to the Japanese market, I guess. Apparently, they're telling me in the chat room, every frame has a reference to something.
Every frame?
There's a lot of cross-reference. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that the building had a bunch of HTML web standards and stuff on it.
Yeah. Wow.
There she is.
Oh, that's your wallpaper.
Her office is surprisingly similar to mine, although hers is a little cleaner.
So, Paul, happy birthday. Belated. And we've decided, we got together here, we all pitched in to get you a little gift, and I think you're going to be pretty darn excited about this. We've pitched in to buy you new spider bands.
I do need those.
For your Heil PR40. So your microphone will be like mine. Firm.
It's like you're sending me a little bag of garrotes.
An elastic, yeah. Yeah. You can be used as either garrotes or spider bands, your choice.
Okay. Right.
They're in the mail on their way to you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Never again shall your microphone sag.
It is. It's a little floppy.
Will Mary Jo be back next week?
I believe she will be.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Meanwhile, I thank you all for joining us. Paul Thurrott is, of course, the guy in charge of the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Now there's two websites, windowsphonebook.com and the newest, windows81book.com. That's the work in progress. Please, indeed, check those out and come back here next Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific, our new time, 11 a.m. Pacific,
2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC. However, a reminder, we will be moving to Wednesdays, same time, on Wednesdays on January, the week of January 6th. So it'll be January 8th, I think. Paulie, my friend,
yes.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
And we'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.